Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, a few months ago, we started our study of who we are in Christ, right? And we started by looking at our very beginning aspect of what we started looking at was the new creation that we are because we put our trust in Christ. And in that becoming that new creation, we've seen all the different relationships that Jesus gave to us because we are in Him. And then we look at all of the ways that we are sustained by our Heavenly Father each day as we walk with Jesus, right? All of this is because we are in Christ. And we looked at all those different things and all the help that our Father gives us, all the ways He protects us, how he gives us strength, how He gives us guidance and encouragement as we follow Jesus, right? Well, today we are going to look at the third aspect of who we are in Christ, our identity in Jesus. How does that change us? What is it that makes us in Christ, right? And so for the next month or so, we're going to be looking at how Jesus gives us significance and value. Who are we? Why do we have significance and value? Because we are in Christ. That's the things that we're going to look at. There is a reason we have so much help in following Jesus. There's a reason for that. And what is that reason? That's what we're going to look at. What is the purpose behind why we are created in Christ and why God the Father helps us so much? We're going to find out that God did not make us. God did not give us all of this help, all of the support, and all of the sustaining that He gives us just so that we can barely struggle through life. He didn't do that. In fact, He did quite the opposite. He gives us all of this help, all of this encouragement and guidance and strength so that we could thrive, so that we could do so much more than just struggle, so we could have full joy and understanding why God gives us the things He gives us. We're going to look at that. When we first started our series of Who We Are in Christ, one of the things we looked at was how we have been made a new creation. And so I want to go back to that just to kind of reset where we're at. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is where we're going to be looking at today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." He's a new creation. "Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Because we are in Jesus, our Father made us into a brand new creation, right? So why is it important that we go back to this aspect, the new creation that we are? And the reason is this: it's important to understand not just what God has done for you because you were in Christ, but also it's important to understand why God has done the things He's done for you because you are in Christ. Not just the what, but the why behind the what. That's an important aspect. How significant is it that you are a new creation in Christ, right? That's the question. To find the answer to that, we can go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this: "For we are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You are described as God's workmanship. His masterpiece is another great word for that. Because you are in Jesus, God takes you and He molds you and He transforms you into something beautiful and wonderful. I mean, think about, here's a great aspect. Think about the creation story. You know, when we look through those earlier chapters in Genesis where God is creating all of the different things and He's making the stars, He's making the trees and the flowers and the animals, and He creates all these things. And what is His response to that? He looks at it and He says, "This is good. I like this. This is really, really good, right? He looks at it and he's responding with joy, with satisfaction on the things that he makes, right? Well, that's exactly what God feels when he recreated you as one who is in Christ. You see, God made a whole brand new creation in you at the moment of salvation. And he points, and this is exactly what this Ephesians chapter 2, 8, verse 10 is talking about. When we are created in Christ Jesus, he's not talking about the creation aspect of us as humans, like creating us as humans. It's actually pointing to the creation of us at the moment of salvation itself. This is the creation, the recreation of us as ones who are in Christ. This is exactly, if you look at the context of Ephesians 2, 10, that kind of helps us to understand that. Because look, just a couple of verses before, all of this is literally pointing to our salvation. In fact, take a look. Verse 8 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So God is basically saying here, I'm the one who saves you. No one's going to be boasting about what I've done because this is my creation. You are my creation. You are my workmanship. You are my masterpiece, right? God takes all this great joy and pride in what he created when he saved you. But here's the thing. He doesn't just stop working on you, right? He continues to mold you and shape you and transform you as into the image of his son, Jesus. And that's so amazing to think about. Think about it. I like to watch Bethany when she paints. My wife, Bethany, because there are interesting things about when you start painting something, or when I can't paint for anything, so I can't talk about it. But when Bethany paints, it's really interesting. Sometimes she looks at a painting and she's like, it's okay. It's pretty good, but it's just not coming out like the way I want it to. It's not turning out the way I like it to. But there's other times when she's painting something and it's like she's in the flow, she's in the zone, you know, and she starts painting it. And as she's painting it, you can tell there's this big smile on her face and she's looking at it like, this is turning out so good. I am so loving this. This is going to be so beautiful. And it's like she can tell how much she's enjoying painting on that canvas like that because it's turning out so good and she's loving that. She's enjoying that, right? This is kind of like how God is when he makes you as his masterpiece, as his workmanship. He looks at you and says, oh man, this is turning out really good. Oh, I'm so excited about it. Oh, I love how this is turning out. It's so good. This is what God sees you and says in response to his creating you. He sees how good it is to create you, right? Let's go back to verse 10 because there's something I want you to see. Why does God make you into his masterpiece? What is the reason behind it? Verse 10 says this again, "For we are his workmanship, his masterpiece." Why? "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Think about why things are made for a second. When something is made, what's the reason behind it? What is the why behind the what? Why are things made? Well, some things are made because of the form. There's different aspects of it, specifically talking about form and function, right? Form and function. Some things are made specifically to have form, right? They look beautiful. They're exquisite in nature, but they don't really do much. They're just hanging on a wall. They're maybe sitting on a table or something. They're there for people to look at, but they don't do all that much. Things that are designed with form in mind. And then there are things that are designed with function in mind, right? They may do things really, really well, but they don't look nice while they're doing it. I remember a while ago, when we were just starting, doing live streaming and different things like that. We had a we had a computer monitor, but it didn't have a stand. So I just whipped up something out of plywood. Just, you know, I just made it and it held the monitor great. But it was very clear that there was no form in that object that I created for its functionality. And I received many well-deserved comments about how there was absolute lack of form in my makeshift monitor stand that I built. And I deserved it too, because it did not, it held the monitor up really good, but it did not look good doing it at all. And you know, so that's the aspect of it. You can have form, looks good, and you can have function, does what it is designed to do. What God does though is He gives that perfect balance. The things that are made with both form and function. If you have something that is perfectly formed and perfectly functioning, they do what they were designed to do amazingly well. And at the same time, they display the artistic genius of the one who made it. This is exactly how you are designed as God's masterpiece. He recreated you the moment of salvation with the perfect balance of form and function. So let's look at the function part first, because Ephesians 2:10, this is exactly what it's talking about in this aspect. When God saved you, He created you more than something that doesn't do anything but just hang in the wall or sit on a pew or watch a live stream video. He made you to be more than that. He made you to do more. He actually created you for a significant, specific purpose. He created you to do something. What verse 10 says, He created you in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, right? This is how God created you. He created you to do good works. He created you to do good. More specifically though, here's what's interesting. God created you to do the good that He has already prepared ahead of time for you to accomplish. Here's what this means. God didn't just make you and then say, okay, what can I give Him? No, it's actually the opposite. God has things He wants you to do, you specifically. And in order for you to accomplish those things that He has already prepared ahead of time for you, He created you functionally to be able to accomplish those good works, those things that He has prepared for you. In other words, here's what you want. Here's what God wants you to do. And then He designed you specifically to be able to accomplish all that He has prepared for you. That changes. That's so helpful for us to understand, because this means this. He created you with all of the strengths and the spiritual gifts that you would need to love and serve your brothers and sisters in a unique way as part of Christ's body. Remember, we talked about that last week, that you are a part of Christ's body. The specific role and the functionality that you have as an individual member of Christ's body. God literally designed you to be able to accomplish the task that He put as that part of the body. He designed you, He created you to accomplish those things. Isn't that amazing? These are the things. And in every aspect of you following after the purpose that God has designed for you, whether it's loving and serving your brothers and sisters, whether it's loving and serving others around you, whether it's sharing God's glory in your life, all of these different aspects, God created you specifically to accomplish those tasks. And we're going to look at all of the different ways, or at least some of them, in detail about what those different tasks would be. But know this, He made you to be able to accomplish the tasks He set out before you. So trust Him in it. Realize, recognize, oh, this is so important, because sometimes we get this idea, one, that the things that God did on me, that the things God created me for and designed me for, there may be some, like we tend to think of them as areas that we may not particularly like in ourselves, and kind of assume that, oh, God must have messed up in this area and we're just dealing with the consequences. But that's not true at all. There's so much that we have no idea what God has in store for us. Those things that we assume are character flaws in us, or those things that we assume are spiritual lacking of gifts, or those things that we don't recognize that we have, it's very easy for us to say, oh, this is just an area that God didn't want me to have. But it's so important to understand that everything that God has prepared for you, He created you to be able to accomplish those. So recognize, trust Him that He knows what He's doing and specifically how He designed you, your personality, your spiritual gifts, your character, all of those aspects. Trusting in God, all like in everything that we are in Christ. This aspect of who we are also requires us to trust Him, to know, trust Him that He knows what He's doing when He created us. But also it requires trust when He puts something before us, when the Holy Spirit says this is what your Father created you to do, that you trust Him enough to follow His plan for you, recognizing that He designed you just the way He did so that you could accomplish the things that He has before you. He designed you to be able to function in the way He wants you to, okay? So first we see the purpose. God created us in our function, right? How we do things. God designed us to be able to accomplish everything, right? But what about our form? How do we display the glory of God in the one, how do we display His glory as one who created us, right? Well, think of somebody who paints a picture. When Bethany paints a picture, it's really interesting, part of herself, like when she paints a picture, her character, her personality, her thought process naturally gets put onto the canvas as she paints the picture of whatever object she's painting, right? Part of herself gets transplanted onto the picture. Her character, personality gets displayed in the subject of whatever she is painting, right? That object or the subject that she's painting is simply a reflection of her character that's on display within the subject. And that's why you can have somebody painting, sometimes you have a painting class, right? Where there's a subject, something that somebody is painting, right? It could be a bowl of bananas, it could be just whatever, a person, whatever, right? The subject is the same. The object that the people are painting is the same. And yet, you can have, if you have 10 students in the room, you could have 10 entirely different kinds of paintings, even on the same subject. Why is that? Because each painter displays, each painting is a reflection of the painter, right? And that's how it is with you and me. All of us, including you, are a reflection of your Creator, a reflection of the one who created you in salvation and the one who even now is shaping and molding you. You are a reflection of that. And this is what 2 Corinthians 3:18 is talking about when it talks about God's glory, how we display God's glory in us. So let's take a look real quick. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this is what it says. But we all... I'll read the verse and then explain it. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me explain this passage. This is actually right in the, it's talking about, this is Paul talking about how Moses saw God's glory on Mount Sinai. He went up to Mount Sinai, God and God showed him His glory, right? So when he comes down from Mount Sinai, everybody sees the reflection of God's glory on his face, so much so that they were like, oh, it's too much. So they asked Moses to put a veil over his face. So he did that so people could actually look at him. But in doing so, they lost the ability to see God's glory reflected on the face of Moses. Well, Paul, in this passage, says that we, that you and I, live now with the veil removed, an open face. We live, we all, with open face, like a veil removed. We can see his glory in our lives, right? But also, just like a mirror, just like a glass, we can also fully reflect that glory through our lives. And because God is continuing his work in us, because he is continually molding and shaping us, we are constantly being changed by his Spirit in us, right? And that change helps us to be more and more like him. It helps us to be more clearly reflecting his glory in us. We see God and we understand who he is, and his glory pierces our hearts and we see that glory. But not only do we see it, we reflect it to others around us, right? We're like a painting of light. I love that. A painting of light that God uses to imprint his character on us. So you are a painting of light, and God paints on you, and he reflects his character, just like Bethany reflects her character in the subject that she's painting. You are the subject, and God reflects his character on you as his subject. This is what he says a little bit further on in this conversation, same conversation. We were at 3:18, Second Corinthians 3:18. Let's jump ahead a few verses to 2 Corinthians 4:6, and this is what he said. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, we see the majesty, the beauty, the glory of God most fully displayed in the face of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And that is exactly why God conforms you into the image of his son, Jesus. Because it is in the face of Jesus that God's glory is most fully and most clearly seen. So how does he do that? How does he paint his glory into your life? So if you were a painting, let's think about this. The artist would be God, right? The paintbrush would be the Holy Spirit, right? The subject or the object would be Jesus Christ. And you would be the canvas. What would the paint be? If God's the artist, you're the canvas, the subject is Jesus, and he uses the Holy Spirit as the paintbrush, what does he use to paint? The answer, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, this is my translation, but the paint of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All the colors of God's glory painted by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit as he shows Jesus in us. These are the colors that God uses to display Jesus on the canvas of your heart through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Those are the colors. So as you trust him, as you obey him, and as you follow him, that's your part right there. Trusting in him, obeying in him, and following him. God uses all of these different colors, all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit, and he uses one stroke at a time to display Jesus in you. And in doing so, he displays the glory of God into our lives to show to others. This is how Jesus describes that. He says this, John 15:8. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, that you're colorful, that you show all the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's how, so shall ye be my disciples. That's how you are changed into my image. That's how you follow me. So think about this. Because you are in Christ, you are God's masterpiece. He performed this amazing recreation in your life. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, he recreated you. And even now, he continues to mold you, to shape you. One, in your function, to accomplish the tasks that he has designed you to do. The good works, loving and serving those around you. And in form, displaying God's glory in your life as he, through the Holy Spirit and his fruit being produced in you, the colors of Jesus displayed in your life, displaying the character of God, painted with the brush of the Holy Spirit. Your response to this is this. One, look to Jesus. Have Jesus, abide in him, because this is the one through whom the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Respond in obedience to the Holy Spirit as he guides you one stroke at a time. And this is important. Let me stop on this for a second. There are areas in our life where we do not want the Holy Spirit to be brushing the fruits of his Spirit into our life. There may be areas in your life where you say, you know what, I like it just the way it is. I don't want the Holy Spirit to change that aspect of my life. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Trust the Holy Spirit to do his work of transforming you, of sanctifying you, of purifying you, of changing your heart one step of one stroke of glory at a time. Trust him and submit yourself to him and obey him. In your function, in your glorifying of God, right? In your form, right? But also in your function, trust that God knows what he's doing when he created you. Every aspect of your life, God designed with something in mind for you to accomplish. Remember that. And when the time comes where the Holy Spirit says, this is what God wants you to do, trust him in it. Do what God wants you to do, trusting that he has fully prepared you to accomplish that task. You are a masterpiece in Christ. Because you are in Jesus, God created you as a brand new creature. And in doing so, he continually molds and shapes you. He paints a beautiful picture, not just to hang on a wall, but it's a functional picture, a functional display of God's glory, a perfect balance between form and function, and how he displays his glory, not only through you in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but also in how you serve him by loving and serving others. Isn't God good? Isn't he great in how he prepared you for this? So trust him in it, obey him, and follow after the Holy Spirit as he guides you. Let the Holy Spirit brush those beautiful strokes of the imprint of Jesus onto your heart. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for again showing us how marvelous and majestic you are in displaying your glory in our lives and in showing us all of the ways in which you prepare us, all of the different gifts that we've been given are specifically for this, to accomplish the tasks that you give to us, that you have prepared beforehand so that we can follow you and display your functional glory in our lives through the good works that we do in our lives. Father, you're good to us. Help us to submit ourselves to you. Help us to trust you in this aspect. And Father, help us to continue to be changed into the image of Jesus as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, please. And we'll thank you for every glorious aspect that you change us into so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.